Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence to pray, to listen to you. We want to make this time of prayer fruitful. And so we invoke Our Lady, that one that lived so close to you, who is so often depicted kneeling at a prie-dieu in prayer when the angel appears to her in the Annunciation. Mary, help us to pray. And we invoke Saint Joseph, that master of the interior life, that holy father, according to the law at least of Jesus, that great faithful husband of Mary, who spent so much time with Jesus working in the workshop. Joseph, you who know how to pray, to listen to Jesus and to talk with him, help me to make this time of prayer fruitful. And we go to our guardian angel, that angel who will always present our prayer before God, who moves us to pray. Help us to be attentive so that this is truly a time of prayer. And we pray about our family life. We all come from a family, from a father and a mother, and perhaps we have brothers and sisters, and we belong to that family. And many have formed their own family through marriage, bringing up their children. How can we make our family life better? To live it according to God's plan, remembering how important the family is for the well-being of each one of its members, for the well-being of society and of the church. And we see the family as that vital cell of society. And just as a human body is made up of cells, millions of cells, the health of the body is dependent upon the health of the cells. And all it takes is one cell that becomes cancerous, and that cancer spreads, and the whole body becomes ill and sometimes can die. So a society is made up of families. Each family is a cell in that organism of the society. If families are healthy, if there is love, if there is stability, if there is unity amongst the members of the family, society will be all the better for that. If families are unhealthy, if there is not union between husband and wife and between the children, if there is a dysfunctional family, it has repercussions throughout society. And we see that so readily. If, for example, husband and wife are experiencing difficulties, and the husband goes to work, of necessity, he takes those family difficulties to work. He is not settled, he is not cheerful, and somehow he visits upon his colleagues of work the difficulties that he is experiencing at home, and this is practically inevitable. And he will probably take those difficulties onto the road when he drives. He will not be a peaceful, happy man, but will be perhaps angry, upset, and he will visit that upon fellow drivers on the road. And children, when the family is not going well, take the difficulties to school. And teachers will say that if there are disruptive children, so often it is because they come from disrupted families. If we imagined a whole society where every family was working well, where there was love, where there was stability, there was serenity, and this society doesn't exist, but if we imagined it, what a healthy society we would have. If we imagine a society which is more close to the reality today, where many families are experiencing difficulties, the whole of society feels the impact. And Lord, we pray about family life so that we can make at least our family a little bit better, and that for the good of the whole of society and the church, which is also made up of families. The family is that first school of social virtues. We read in the Second Vatican Council, "For it devolves on parents to create a family atmosphere so animated with love and reverence for God and men that a well-rounded personal and social development will be fostered among the children. Hence, the family is the first school of those social virtues which every society needs." And if children are well formed in respect for one another, honor for their parents, the virtues of sharing, of putting oneself out for the others, of loving each member of the family, then that school of virtue, which is the family, is translated into children and parents who bring those virtues into society, those social virtues which every society needs. And we can ask ourselves, do we live those social virtues in our family? Are our children growing up with them? Do we practice them ourselves? Do we practice respect for every single human being, especially in our family, and others as well? Do we respect life at all ages? And no matter whether that person is sick or handicapped in some way or struggling in their emotional or mental life, we love everyone. Everyone is a child of God. The family is vital for society, for the church. And so Pope John Paul II could say, "The history of mankind, the history of salvation, passes by way of the family." The whole of mankind, the whole of this society, and this society in which we live, this country, this nation, is part of that family of the world. And if each family in each country is stable, happy, thriving, flourishing, the whole of this world at this present time, and therefore the history of mankind. And we go back to that first sentence of his letter to families in 1994, "The history of mankind, the history of salvation, passes by way of the family." And the history of salvation, because parents pass on their faith to their children, and people come into the church, people come back to the church, people grow in their faith initially through the family. In these pages, he goes on, "I have tried to show how the family is placed at the center of the great struggle between good and evil, between life and death, between love and all that is opposed to love." And we see this, good and evil. They are around us, so much evil, so much good, and the family is placed at the center of the great struggle between good and evil, between life and death, and families bring life into the world, between love and all that is opposed to love. And when parents love God, when parents love each other, children learn to love God, to love their parents, to love each other, and that love predominates. The struggle between love and all that is opposed to love. To the family, he goes on, is entrusted the task of striving first and foremost to unleash the forces of good, the source of which is found in Christ, the Redeemer of man. Every family unit needs to make these forces their own, so that, to use a phrase spoken on the occasion of the millennium of Christianity in Poland, the family will be strong with the strength of God. And Lord, help us to make our family strong with the strength of God. And so important in this is that God be in the family, that God be a member of our family. And we go to God, we bring you, Lord, into our family life. Pope Francis, in his Wednesday audience on the 17th of December, at the beginning of his series of catecheses on the family, said, "Each Christian family can first of all, as Mary and Joseph did, welcome Jesus, listen to him, speak with him, guard him, protect him, grow with him, and in this way improve the world." To welcome Jesus, to listen to him, speak with him in prayer, guard him, protect him, grow with him, that he be a member of the family, that this family of ours is part of that holy family of Nazareth. And as the Pope says, in this way, improve the world. If one family in the world is a little bit closer to God, the world is a little bit closer to God through that one family. And there are many families struggling to do this. Let us make room in our heart, Pope Francis goes on, and in our day for the Lord. How much room in my heart, how much time in my day for the Lord. As Mary and Joseph also did, and it was not easy. How many difficulties they had to overcome. They were not a superficial family. They were not an unreal family. Some ideal family, we could add, that really doesn't exist. They were a normal family too. Joseph was a worker. Mary was his wife. They were poor. They had to give birth in a stable because there wasn't room in an inn. They had to flee into Egypt because Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Joseph had to find work and lodgings in Egypt. And then they went back to Nazareth. And then Jesus was lost in the temple. This was part of, Lord, your plan to be in your father's business. But for Joseph and Mary, that was suffering. There were many difficulties in their family life. And Pope Francis goes on, "The family of Nazareth urges us to rediscover the vocation and mission of the family, of every family, to rediscover the vocation, the mission. Bringing Christ into their family, bringing Christ into the world through their family." And the Pope goes on, "And what happened in those 30 years in Nazareth can thus happen to us too, in seeking to make love and not hate normal, making mutual help commonplace, not indifference or enmity." And we can pause there. Do we make love normal and not hate, anger that we can sometimes feel, but we should try to control in the expression of it? That mutual help is commonplace. All helping the others, husband and wife, children, doing what they are asked to do. Mutual help of one another becomes commonplace rather than indifference or enmity. Pope Francis goes on, "It is no coincidence then that Nazareth means she who keeps, as Mary who, as the Gospel states, kept all these things in her heart. Since then, each time there is a family that keeps this mystery, even if it were on the periphery of the world, the mystery of the Son of God, the mystery of Jesus who comes to save us, the mystery is at work. We can be anywhere in the world, in the heart of a great city, on the periphery, in the country. But this mystery of the Son of God, who comes into the family, who comes to redeem us, to sanctify us, to give us his love and his presence, and give us hope, this mystery is at work in the world. He comes to save the world," the Pope goes on. "And this is the great mission of the family, to make room for Jesus who is coming, to welcome Jesus in the family, in each member, children, husband, wife, grandparents. Jesus is there. Welcome him in order that he grow spiritually in the family." The mission of the family, to welcome Jesus. And then that other great mission, to bring Jesus into the lives of those around us, having first encountered him, grown in love for him in the family. How do we do this? By having times for prayer. Family prayer. Prayer with the children. Perhaps in the morning, and we say the morning offering together. Certainly saying prayers before and after meals. And the children grow up learning that we don't start eating before we have prayed and thanked God for his bounty and asking him to bless us. And then at the end, thanking him for that food that we have eaten and thinking of all those families and children and parents who don't have enough to eat ever. They go hungry every day. Night prayers, and perhaps there the family rosary, that we pray together, and it unites the family. And Father Peyton, who popularized the family rosary, has that famous statement, which is so true always: the family that prays together stays together. If we have come into the family rosary with arguments, with hostilities, after the rosary, these disappear, or at least diminish. If husband and wife have been arguing, after the rosary, they are more united. Lord, help us to bring you into the family, to welcome you into our family, so that we can bring you into the world. And then regular confession, that great sacrament of mercy, the sacrament of joy. How good it is that the family goes to confession regularly. And we all tell our sins, because we all sin. And God forgives us through the priest, fills us with grace, and we start over. What a help that is in building a healthy, happy family. So the first way of building our family, to welcome Christ, to have time for prayer, and of course, Mass. Mass on Sundays without fail, and Mass during the week if we can, and visits to the Blessed Sacrament, and perhaps teaching our children to read the lives of saints, or we read the lives of saints to them from a young age. And they love to hear those stories, or the stories of the Old Testament and the New. And they grow up in a climate of faith. Christ has been welcomed into the family. And then the second consideration is the relationship between husband and wife, between father and mother in the family, because this relationship is the hinge, the axis for the whole of family life. And we see it in one sense that when a couple get married, they are forming that relationship with each other. And they spend some months, some years developing that relationship. And then the children come. But in a sense, the children depend on that first relationship between father and mother. And it is the most important relationship in the family. That is easy to see. If we asked ourselves, which is more important, that father and mother love each other, or that father and mother love the children? And of course, these are not mutually exclusive. We should have both. But we see which is more important if we consider the possibility that father and mother are not getting on. They are arguing, sometimes in a loud voice, or they are simply silent. They're not talking with one another. But each of them goes to the children and says, I love you. I love you so much. I couldn't do without you. Do those children feel secure? Daddy and mommy love them, but daddy and mommy don't love each other. And they feel insecure. What most matters is that husband and wife, father and mother, daddy and mommy love each other. Then the children grow up in a climate of security, of trust, of love, and the parents will love them too. But first, parents love each other. Pope Francis, in an address to families in October of 2013 in St. Peter's Square, gave us some very simple remedies for growing in love for one another. He said, some weeks ago in this very square, I said that in order to have a healthy family, three words need to be used. And I want to repeat these three words. Please, thank you, sorry. Three essential words. We say please so as not to be forceful in family life. May I please do this? Would you be happy if I did this? We do this with a language that seeks agreement. And we could add, we don't command, we don't order people to do things. The parents ordering the children, husbands and wives ordering each other. We ask them, please, would you do this? And the husband, please, would you iron my shirts? The wife, please, would you cut the grass or wash the car? Please. Gentleness, kindness. This isn't a military barracks where officers can order the soldiers. This is a family where love reigns, where understanding and respect reign. And so we say, please. And we go on with Pope Francis. We say thank you. Thank you for love. But be honest with me. How many times do you say thank you to your wife and you to your husband? How many days go by without uttering this word thanks? And we should reflect on that. How often do we say thank you? I am grateful that you have made this meal, that you have done the laundry, that you are simply there, that you love me. Thank you. We should say it often. And the Pope goes on, and the last word, sorry. We all make mistakes. And on occasion, someone gets offended in the marriage, in the family. And sometimes I say, plates are smashed, harsh words are spoken, but please listen to my advice. Don't ever let the sun set without reconciling. Peace is made each day in the family. Please forgive me. And then you start over. Sorry. We have to say that often. And sometimes pride gets in the way and we don't want to say it because we think we are not at fault, the other person is. But when we know we're at fault, even then we can say sorry for being so obtuse, for being so obnoxious. I'm sorry. And if we're not at fault, we can still say sorry for having been so loud, so dramatic in the way we expressed what we were saying, that we say sorry quickly. And the Pope concludes, "The life of a family is filled with beautiful moments, rest, meals together, walks in the park or the countryside, visits to grandparents or to a sick person. But if love is missing, joy is missing, nothing is fun. Jesus always gives us that love. He is its endless source. In the sacrament, he gives us his word, and he gives us the bread of life, so that our joy may be complete. Lord, help us to welcome you into the family. Help fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, to grow in love for each other. Sing those words, please, thank you, sorry." And then finally, the children. And in his Wednesday audience on the 11th of February 2015, the Pope spoke about the importance of children. He said, "There is a close connection between the hope of a people and the harmony between generations. The joy of children makes the hearts of their parents palpitate and reopens the future. Children are the joy of the family and of society. They are not a problem of reproductive biology or one of the many ways of fulfilling themselves, and much less so are they a possession of their parents. No, children are a gift. Do you understand? Children are a gift. Each one is unique and unrepeatable, and at the same time, unmistakably connected to his roots. In fact, according to God's plan, to be a son and a daughter means to bear in oneself the memory and the hope of a love that has realized itself precisely by kindling the life of another original and new human being. And for parents, each child is unique, different, and diverse. And Lord, help us to see that each child is a gift from God that we are called to look after, to love, to form well, and to form for all eternity, so that one day they can be in heaven. And we love each child as they are. Pope Francis goes on, "A child is loved because he is a child, not because he is beautiful or because he is like this or like that. No, it is because he is your child, not because they think like me or fulfill my wishes. A child is a child, a life generated by us, but destined to him, to his good, to the good of the family, of society, and of the whole of humanity." And Lord, help us to love each child, no matter how they are. And the Pope goes on, "The fourth commandment asks children, and we are all children, no matter how old we are children, to honor their father and their mother. This commandment comes immediately after those that concern God himself. In fact, it contains something sacred, something that is at the root of all other kinds of respect between men. And added in the biblical formulation of the fourth commandment is that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The virtuous connection between the generations is guarantee of the future. And it is the guarantee of a truly human history. We bring children into the world. They are the next generation. They are the future of the family, the future of the church, the future of society. A society of children," the Pope goes on, "who do not honor their parents is a society without honor. When parents are not honored, one loves their own honor. It is a society destined to fill itself with arid and avid young people. However, a society that is greedy with its generation, which does not like to surround itself with children, that considers them above all a worry, a weight, a risk, is a depressed society. Because they do not want children. They don't have children. The birth rate never reaches 1%. Very powerful words. A society that is greedy with its generation, which does not like to surround itself with children, that considers them above all a worry, a weight, a burden, a risk, is a depressed society. Why? Each one of us must think and respond. If a family that is full of children is regarded as if it were a weight, there is something that's not right. The generation of children must be responsible, as the encyclical Humanae Vitae of Blessed Pope Paul VI also teaches. But to have more children cannot become automatically an irresponsible choice. To have a larger family is not irresponsible. Depends on each family. To not have children is a selfish choice. That is, if the parents freely choose not to have children when they could, and they could reasonably bring them up. To not have children is a selfish choice. Life rejuvenates and acquires energies by multiplying itself. It is enriched, not impoverished. And we have children, and they learn to share. They learn sacrifice. They learn love for other human beings. What virtues children grow in when they have a good number of brothers and sisters. And Pope John Paul II said in Washington in 1979, and I don't have his words here in front of me, but essentially what he said was, the best gift you can give your children is not more toys, more things, but another brother or sister who can teach them the value of humanity in all stages. Another brother or sister, the best gift. Lord, we finish our prayer and we thank you for giving us the example of your family, Mary and Joseph, who brought you into the world. Help us to build our own family life by bringing you into our family in very real, practical, and daily ways, so our children grow up in the family. Help us to build that relationship between husband and wife so that it is strong and the children feel secure, and from our own love will come the love that we show to our children, and help our children to honor and respect us and to honor and respect God as we honor and respect them as a gift, and help us not to be selfish, stingy in bringing children into the world, to give our children the great blessing, the great gift of another brother or sister, and then all together in that climate of love, of respect, of virtue, we build a better society, we build up the body of the church, and we build up the communion of saints here on earth and in heaven. We go to Our Lady, Queen of the family. Mary, help us to listen to these words of the Pope, to listen to these words of your Son, so that we have a truly stable, happy, thriving family life, both here and hereafter. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.